My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the nation. She always joins us to talk about the latest developments in the healthcare debate. And of course, last summer, Republicans tried and failed to pass really much of anything in terms of repealing Obamacare. They were able to get a few things done in more recent legislation. For example, repealing the individual mandate, which will happen next year. That was part of the tax cut bill. And they've also repealed the Independent Payment Advisory Board. So those are things for those on Grace Marie's side of the debate to celebrate. But there are now concerns that Republicans have thrown in the towel, at least for the rest of 2018, on getting more progress made on repealing Obamacare. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Greg.
Well, here's a kind of National Review's summary of what they think happened here with the latest developments, both in terms of the omnibus and beyond. Republicans, they say, have implemented two major changes to the Affordable Care Act. President Trump stopped funding cost-sharing reduction payments, which are subsidies paid to insurers to cover the cost of their offering discounted insurance plans to low-income customers, and the tax reform law repealed the individual mandate, which levied a fine on individuals who did not buy health insurance. With those measures repealed, premiums should rise unless additional changes to the healthcare system are made. Republicans hope to pair a measure funding CSR payments, that's the cost-sharing reduction payments, with meaningful deregulations to the individual insurance market, but the deal fell apart as Democrats insisted that the money be allowed to go towards insurance plans that cover abortions. And the GOP doesn't seem to have the will to pass a standalone health care bill. And so National Review has concluded, based on some evidence from the Wall Street Journal as well, that premiums are going to skyrocket. It's largely Obamacare's fault, and Republicans don't have the will to get something done. You disagree strongly. Why?
I absolutely disagree. First of all, the House actually did pass repeal and replace legislation last summer, but the Senate fell one vote short of being able to get it done last September. And yes, you're right. There have been some important changes made by Congress. There also have been some important regulatory changes that the White House has made, allowing association health plans, letting people buy temporary policies that can provide a bridge between job-based coverage or if they're starting a new business. But I really strongly believe Congress is going to now be forced to come back to addressing full reform. The measures that they were considering during the omnibus as part of the omnibus spending bill were really just papering over the problems with Obamacare. They were ready to throw tens of billions more dollars into this black hole of Obamacare. It was not going to fix anything, and I think it was going to become a perpetual annual bribe to keep people to continue to fund a system that doesn't work. I believe Congress, now that's done and that they did not get that into the omnibus spending bill, Congress is going to have to come back to a full repeal and replace measure. And we have been working every week since October to refine this legislation at the behest of the Senate. Senator Rick Santorum has been really the energy behind this effort. Heritage Foundation, Ethics and Public Policy Center, the American Enterprise Institute, a lot of state-based think tanks, a lot of experts from around the country have been putting together a proposal that we believe can not only get majority support in the Congress, but majority support with the American people to fix this for good instead of papering over the problems.
All right, let's get a little more specific then. How would this be different than what passed the House or I would say got shot down in the Senate, but there were a lot of different things that got shot down in the Senate. Right. So how would it be fundamentally different than what we were talking about last summer?
Well, the House legislation was really a different kind of subsidy from Obamacare, in that basically it said we are going to provide a different kind of federal refundable tax credit to support people purchasing private health insurance. The last bill that almost made it over the finish line in the Senate, but the clock just really ran out on them because they had to have gotten it done before September 30th because the reconciliation instructions expired. That bill was based upon a different approach, a federalist approach, to return money and power to the states, to ultimately empower individuals to have more choice and more control over their health insurance. That's the legislation that we believe can really allow members to say, this is not just a different way of distributing Obamacare subsidies, but a really different approach. Mississippi and Montana, Miami, Manhattan, very different problems. You cannot find one federal approach that's going to solve the problems for those health insurance markets. We've got to devolve power to the states, and they need resources in addition to new flexibility to be able to provide people with the kind of policies they actually want to buy instead of would have been forced to have purchased, and also to use a lot of the money to make sure they purchase private coverage and that they have many more choices and that the coverage is more affordable. What's happening with Obamacare now is that so many people are in these pools that are older and sicker, and it's just driving premiums up and up. More and more healthy people are dropping out, and basically Obamacare is becoming one big high-risk pool. But that means that millions, probably tens of millions of people, are being shut out of health insurance. They need a different place to go. And that's what states can do. States can figure out how can they revive their individual and small group health insurance markets, having more opportunity to provide the approval for policies that people actually want to purchase, and to give people the opportunity to shop around, not be driven into these cookie-cutter Obamacare policies.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. And just one point of clarity here, Grace Marie, you mentioned in passing that the Senate had to get something done last year by September 30th. That was the window of opportunity to get something done under budget reconciliation, which would only require a simple majority. Can they go back to that now here in 2018, or would they have to pass something that would require 60 votes, which in an election year seems like a pretty tall order, yeah, especially when Democrats seem to be opposed to anything of substance?
That's right. They can't do this with a 60 vote. They've got to do it with a simple majority. And we believe, and we are very close to having the support of people who in the past were reluctant to support legislation. But yes, it would require new budget reconciliation instructions. But we believe, and we've got a lot of people we're working with who've been through these processes many times, believe that this can be done. The last time, what they did was they passed the budget reconciliation instructions to create the pathway for the repeal and replace legislation they wanted to pass, and then they had to fit it into that channel, and it didn't really fit. And as one of my colleagues said, they just kept having to pull limbs off of it until it would fit through that process, and at the end, nobody really liked the product. Well, we're doing this differently. We're starting out by creating a product that we believe can work and that people will like, and then they'll write the budget reconciliation instructions around that to create a pathway for something that we already know. They did it backwards last time. This time, we're going to do it the right way, starting with good policy, and then create a vehicle to get that enacted.
What exactly, unless it's exactly what you meant, told me before, are you hearing from either the holdout Republicans or maybe even some more conservative Democrats? What are they saying when they say, I can get on board if I have this?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, many of them are feeling Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Mike Lee made it very clear in the past that they want to make sure that the states have maximum flexibility in being able to address the regulations, which are one of the reasons that health insurance has become so expensive, because of the onerous, expensive mandates and regulations under Obamacare. So to create a pathway to be able to allow the states more flexibility, and you can do that by putting the money through different channels that would allow the parliamentarian, we believe, to allow some of those rule changes to be made under this narrow reconciliation instruction. There are just so many rules and restrictions. Everything in the bill has to be directly pertinent to federal spending or federal taxes. And if it's regulation, that doesn't really apply. But if you use the right channel, then regulation, having some regulatory flexibility, would be ancillary and therefore, I think, be able to get some of the senators who in the past were a bit recalcitrant. they're still, you know, if Senator McCain is still a sitting member of the Senate, he hasn't been able to get back to Washington since early this year. Senator Murkowski, Senator Collins have expressed other concerns, but we're talking with each one of them, and the senators are meeting regularly because, frankly, I think they know they've got to act on this. Every poll shows that the number one concern of voters in the midterm elections is health care. How can they go back to their voters and say, oh, sorry, we know we trolled you for four election cycles. We were going to repeal and replace Obamacare, but it was just really too hard. They can't do that. They've got to come back to this, and we have been working for now almost 6 months to refine basically the last bill that almost made it over the finish line, sponsored by Senator Graham, Senator Cassidy, Senator Johnson, and Senator Heller, really refining that legislation so when they do come back to this, they'll have a much bigger head start than they did before.
Last question. In the meantime, premiums are on the rise. Republicans, of course, blame it on the snowballing of Obamacare and all the regulations and mandates that go along with that. The Democrats say, well, the Trump administration is starting to dismantle this, and Republicans are trying to completely implode it, or at least largely implode it, and that is causing instability and uncertainty, and that's what's causing higher premiums. So what's the right answer here?
Well, the Republicans have been, as we've been discussing, they've been able to do almost nothing to change Obamacare. So blaming it on changes by the Republicans, yes, they were able to repeal the individual mandate, but basically it was repealing itself. People were ignoring it because they were saying, I'd rather pay the fine than pay thousands, maybe even up to $10,000 for health insurance that they can't use because the deductible is so high. So people were paying the fines anyway. The individual mandate was toothless. And if that's really the only major change that's been made, but people were repealing it themselves already. And so to blame this on the Republicans is crazy. The bill is flawed. The Democrats have been saying for a long time they know this bill needs work. But every time we come at this and try to say, okay, let's work together and create a better system, no, 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 because we don't want you to touch Obamacare. Well, you can't have it both ways, but that's what they're saying.
Grace Marie, the battle goes on, but I heard you say when, not if, this comes up this year. So we'll be looking for it. Thanks very much for your time.
Stay tuned. Thanks, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.